Tonight we will explore the ever-growing world of tango and sit down with the duo Ben and Winnie as they tell us about their newly released album, La Próxima Traición. My name is Charles Olivier, your host, and welcome to Noche de Tango. In our first tanda tonight, we will listen to the California-based tango group, Redwood Tango Ensemble. This group has been touring and playing all throughout the U.S. and Europe. Through their tours, many have fallen in love with their new tangos and arrangements. For our Redwood Tango Ensemble tanda, we will hear the pieces City of Glass, Resistance, and Bloom.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Ben and Winnie, for joining me today on this episode of Noche de Tango. And we're going to go ahead and dive right into it today. First off, Ben, what instrument do you play? And are there any specific techniques that make that instrument appropriate in tango?
It's a funny question coming from the host of the show, Chase, who also plays the bandoneon.
I know, but this is for everyone,
so. So they play the bandoneon is what I have come to call it in English, but we usually in tango call it the bandoneon, which is the Spanish name for the German instrument that we use to play tango. So it's very, this is a whole world culture thing we have going on now, even just with the instrument. In terms of special techniques, well, that's another, I think, kind of funny question because, not a funny question, you know, the answer's funny. Because I think that since the bandoneon was introduced into tango, everything that happens in tango is trying to copy the bandoneon. So the bandoneon is kind of cool in this way that you can actually play anything on the bandoneon and it sounds like tango. So yeah, of course, there's a bunch of tricks that we use to make tango sound kind of cool and like tango. But really anything you play on the bandoneon sounds like tango.
Okay, and so we'll go to the other side of this duo. Winnie, what do you play? And are there any special techniques that you use to make that instrument sound like it is in tango?
I play the piano, which is an instrument very well known in the Western classical tradition. It is like a ferret that is somewhat related to a squirrel. They all have four legs, but they're not the same species, you know what I mean? Tango piano, I will have to say, does reverberate with what Ben Bogart just said, that anybody that play any instrument will have to in some way imitate the bandoneon because anything the bandoneon plays sounds like tango. So with the ego of a tango pianist, dare I say, just slightly different from the ego of a classical pianist, I have no problem saying that I do spend all my time trying to imitate the bandoneon with the piano. That is, of course, a very personal opinion. Other tango pianists might disagree. But for what I do, I try to use my 10 fingers to use articulations that will literally by hook or by just petting touch or by elbow in a finger kind of way, in any sort of way, to get the same sound quality that the bandoneon makes through his use of gravity and, you know, however weird thing he does with his bellowed instrument. So a lot of imagination is what you need as a tango musician, I think. For a tango pianist, I imagine imitating what the tango orchestra sounds like and be part of the whole.
Okay, so now let's dive into a little bit about the album that you guys will be releasing very soon. Why make an album like this? You know, a duo is not typical, though it's been done before, for a formation for an album.
So I think most duos embody the sound of something. Like, it's almost like delicate because there are only two instruments, right? There's like a delicate interplay between the instruments. We haven't taken that approach. We've taken a really different approach.
Delicate. Very delicate.
Very delicate. Yeah, yeah. So you know, our entire approach to tango is about reduction. So when I say reduction, it's like if you reduce something, you know, on the stove, what happens is it gets like thicker and stronger. So it's like less quantity. It's a smaller volume with all of the flavor and all of the contents of what was once a full pot of whatever you're producing, right? So that's what we tried to do as a duo. So we started reducing everything down to a quartet a while ago, and then we had a situation where we then had wanted to continue playing as a, you know, music, and we continued rehearsing as a duo, and we realized that we could still kind of, or at least try to capture the feeling of the entire orchestra with only two instruments. So now we both play schizophrenically. We sort of like move between different roles. Like I pretend I'm one, and I pretend I'm a violin and a bandoneon. Sometimes Winnie pretends she's a violin, she pretends she's a bass. Occasionally I have to pretend I'm a bass on the bandoneon. And we still try to play as a full orchestra. So the reason it's a duo is because, well, I didn't answer that part of the question. The reason it's a duo is because, so we were in the situation where we wanted to continue rehearsing. And so we did, not really thinking that this was going to be a duo project. And then we like, we're sitting there one day and we're like, hey, this works. And when he was like, yeah. And so we're like, so should we be a duo? And like, yeah, there you go. And that's kind of how it became a duo. And the duo's name, of course, is Ben and Winnie, because that's what it is. It's like all the great two name, you know, things ice that have cream. Ever come in past. What's that, Winnie?
Ice cream.
Ice cream, Ben and Jerry's, Tom and Jerry, you know, peanut butter and jelly. There's so many great things that have two names. So,
like any good stew, one bite is enough.
So, that's I think I answered both parts of that question.
Yeah. Okay, so you hinted on it just a little bit with having to fill these different roles while you're playing, but can you go a little bit deeper in what is your process when you are creating and arranging tangos for a group like this? Like, what are you considering and what are you keeping in mind?
What are you arranging? Well, tango essentially is popular music. It's music for the people. And a lot of people use it for dancing. And for that, I think we should continue to respect that. To help people to dance who are not trained musicians, there's one thing that they all seem to need and want is to know, where's the beat, guys? I want to know where the beat is what you get from people when they ask about tango music. So my left hand, my bass part, my piano part, my main function, as far as I can tell, is to provide the beat, to give people the ground on which they can step, to give a grid, to give the lines for them to drive within so they don't hit the car coming in front of them. You know? So to keep the beat is a must. To arrange for that to happen between the two of us, we both, the bandoneon, the piano, has the capacity to do that. With the bandoneon, they can do what we call the marcato, to mark the time of the piece. The piano does it with their left hand, sometimes also with their right hand. When there are only two of us, other than marking the time, we also need to tell the story, to give the story time to introduce the protagonist, to introduce the conflict, to introduce how the story ended and finish off the protagonist sometimes at the end, right? So the pianist will do some of that with the right hand with the tune, and the bandoneon will do most of that, carrying the tune, sometimes answering himself the question he posed and providing the answer that he just asked himself. And the piano might do something that is called the fill. I fill in, sort of like, yeah, that's hard. I understand. To put in little sighs and little comments like that to absorb what the bandoneon has just said. So I think like that when it comes to arranging the music. Ben?
I was going to say that this idea of the stories that we have in our head is interesting because sometimes we share the stories. Sometimes we're working from the same storyline. And sometimes we're working from parallel storylines that get the same result. So like the shape of the story arc is the same, is from the same place in the literary canon or whatever, but like the actual details of the story are different. So Winnie will say something like, go from the chipmunk. And I'll look at her like, what are you talking about? Like, where's the chipmunk? And she'll say, oh, the, you know, bar 36. I'm like, that's the squirrel or whatever it is. Like, so yeah, the stories are really important for playing the music and for arranging and making sure that continuity like really works through the whole arc of the piece.
So now let's talk a little bit about the reasoning and philosophy behind the recording process for this album. You know, why the trip to Argentina, and then, you know, even specifically to a certain studio, and then also to the, you know, you guys made that music video out in the fields. Like, what was the process and philosophy for, you know, those type of projects?
I am a live musician more by nature than a studio musician. So to make a studio CD for me is a challenge. And I was thinking, if I can do it in a studio as if I was doing it live, that would be great. I can get it done. How does Winnie make a studio recording live? By inviting her good friends into the studio and playing for them in the booth through these things called headphones. So that is for me the main reason of going down to Buenos Aires, to see my friend Julian, to see our friend Julian, and to see our friend Lucho, and to see all our other friends that we drink with and eat with before and after the session, to be going home, to be doing it at home, so to speak. So that makes me feel very alive and very comfortable, and it helps with the fire.
There's something about recording in like where you record is important. And I don't necessarily mean the studio, although a studio fort is important as well. Historically, for tango, for music in Argentina, for the genre, for all kinds of things, for social movement. But when you are, you know, you're about to record, right? You're walking down the street, you show up at some big like brick building with like bars in front of it, you push a doorbell and somebody like opens a little, there's like a little, it's like a speakeasy, right? They like open the little window and then they're like, who is it? And you're like, Ben and Winnie. They close the window, and then you wait a little bit, and then the door opens. I'm like, welcome to the studio. And then you have to like walk through like tunnels and this like old like factory to get to this like hidden studio. I mean, that affects how you play for the rest of the day. You know what I mean? Like, it's at 10 in the morning. Well, 10 in the morning is the earliest you can get anybody to work in the music world in Argentina. So no, I mean, so part of it is about that, about being there with friends. And then another part of it is about also, contextualizing something, like removing yourself. You need to focus, right? So we needed to go somewhere to make the album. So doing it at home would have taken a year, where doing it in Argentina took us 10 days. So
the name of the album is La Próxima Traición, which translates roughly to, the next treason or the upcoming betrayal. Why name an album like that?
Why? Because it's a great name. If I answer the why, it's just a great name for an album. Every time.
And it came from a bar.
It came from a bar. And when the name was first spoken, everybody at the table went, oh. And we were like, okay, well, obviously that has impact. So the first realization for us was that the name had impact. Then we were like, wait a minute. But let's like think about this and what it means. And we realized that in many ways, it embodies the way we feel about our role as musicians today. So we don't mean it, we didn't intend it as something negative, right? We intended it as something positive. It's about an upheaval, it's about a change. It's about musicians and all artists finding a way to reintroduce themselves in society as social activists, which of course we all are anyway. But to make it explicit, you know what I mean? So that our role becomes making the world a better place, in our case, one tango at a time. So the treason in this case, not treason or the betrayal, is about changing the role. Like, we're betraying the role of the musician as something, you know, on a pedestal. That's not at all what we want, right? We want to engage with every audience in every space, and to save the planet, and to use the music as a vehicle for doing those things. It turns out that, you know, there was a sort of huge betrayal that came after we picked the name and after the album, which we're all living right now. And so with our release date coming up this Friday, it seems appropriate in a sort of like totally different way. But the original intent was that.
Yes. And of course, I agree with everything Ben said. But there was one scenario that I'd imagined earlier on. I was thinking of like a dumping out of your closet drawer, which we are all doing these days, decluttering our homes, right? You dump out your drawer, you throw out the stuff that you don't want, you put back what you want and rearranging it, making new space for new ideas, new resolutions, how you want to make the world better ahead of you. So the traición, the treason, the betrayal is not like, you know, in history where you killed everybody you don't like. It's not so much that, but a reorganizing of your life, of your lifestyle. And la próxima traición, the next traición, is talking about not just the one you're doing now, but the one you're doing tomorrow and the day after tomorrow. There will always be hope. You can always change what footstep you want to put in tomorrow, regardless of what you did before.
So what impact do you want this album to have on the tango community of the world, but more specifically on the United States?
First thing I can think of is to be scandalous in the best of ways. It's what I usually take pride of Winnie doing. A lot of things that come out of her mouth and come out of the fingers are scandalous to some people. And to be scandalous musically, creatively, artistically, I think most of the time it's really not so bad. If you're going to be scandalous anywhere, this is the best place to do it. I hope that this album in this country and elsewhere can show people that two people can play the complexity or to show the depth and richness of tango music in its full orchestral format, first of all. Ambitious, cocky, if you want to think that way. It's not that. It is just we want to use the smallest resources we have to make the biggest impact. That's what we're thinking. That's one. Second thing I want to show is that fresh tango, original tango, can be composed today. Fresh, not an arrangement of an old tune, and by a non-Argentine too. Again, we are not trying to provoke in an exclusive way. We are trying to promote inclusivity, in fact, in that anyone who loves music can make music. Anyone who loves tango music can play tango music, can enjoy tango music, can dance tango music. It is not something that we need to exclude to include ourselves.
And so to that end, I think that the, you know, the CD spans, the music on the CD spans a time period of over 100 years. And so it's about, it's not about, you know, mapping a timeline of tango history. It's instead about like bringing out other voices, sort of contemporary, recent past and you know, 100 years ago, bringing these voices together, like telling the stories of the people who wrote and played and danced to and lived those pieces. And of course, now that we're telling them today, we're telling them in the context of today. So they sound different, even though they're in many ways, like the notes are many of the notes are the same as they were 70 years ago. I also think of the CD really as a vehicle for building community. I mean, that's the other thing that I really want to do with sort of every piece of this puzzle that we put together is really about building a community. It's about building people who, you know, coalescing a group of people around an idea of, well, a love of tango, which they, many people, you know, who follow us already have, but we've also introduced a lot of new people to tango, and then to help them sort of use that love of tango to, again, make the world a better place. I mean, that's our direction.
So to finish up today, what advice would you give a tango group that is just starting to think about putting together an album?
I would like to say that go ahead and put away all doubts. All doubts along the lines of, oh, nobody listens to CDs anymore. Oh, Spotify streams for free. Oh, there's so much to cut through these days on the internet. Oh, my voice doesn't matter. Oh, there's no room for my voice. All of those doubts one must put aside. Because as you can see what's gone on out there, there is now more need and more space than ever for the arts. They obviously need it. They aren't going to pay for it like today or tomorrow. But we've always lived like that. The arts didn't come because people pay for it. So make it. There's now more room than ever with everybody actually paying attention to technology and fighting through technology. There are new possibilities being made now that we couldn't. Let's say tonight we're going to play in Europe. We couldn't play in Europe from Indiana like 2 months ago. Now we can, and we actually do. Why? New opportunities come. So for new bands who want to record an album, do it. Because every year when you record an album, your sound is frozen that way. Let's say Ben and Winnie sounded like La Próxima Traición in 2019. We do not sound like that now. And we like it or not now, it doesn't matter. We don't sound like 2019 anymore. We sound like 2020. So record now. Ben?
to elaborate on that a little bit, things only get better by doing, right? So if you want to create, you know, the best tango album ever recorded, the only way to do that is to record 30 tango albums before you get there or whatever it is, you know what I mean? So just start doing it. You're going to have all kinds of stuff that you may end up being embarrassed by that album someday. It's okay. It's not that hard to delete this stuff from the internet these days. you can release music very easily. You can get feedback from your friends. And by doing so, you present something, you make a statement. You say, the most important thing I think in any art is being able to identify for yourself, I like this, I don't like this. It doesn't matter if other people like it or don't like it or if they agree with you. When you put something out there, you're saying, I like this. And by saying I like this, that's very useful to you, right? Because then you have to go through that process to put out the disc. And then you also have a disc that you can take to people and you can send to friends and ask for feedback. And so your next disc will be better because either they'll send you feedback that you don't agree with and you can be like, you know, buzz off. Or which is great because that's saying I don't agree with you and you're defining your position even more, or you'll learn something new. And so, yeah. So, I mean, I think our advice as a duo is go do it. And if you check out our live streams, which we do every Tuesday and Thursday at 2:00 Eastern, you'll see that that's what we do. Yeah.
The good and the bad and the ugly, the awake, yeah. The sleepy, everything in is on there. And what was I going to say? That's right. You must record that CD now as you want to, because there has to be at least one person who really loved it. It may be your mom. It may not be your mom, but there is always at least one person that we knew that loved it. However you hated it, they loved it. For that, it is worth recording that. Go for it.
And so I'm just going to say, if you did want to check out what we do live, you can go to benwinnie.com/follow, which is BENWINNIE.com/follow. And it has the links to all of the current ways to find us there.
Well, thank you so much, Ben and Winnie, for sitting down with us today and talking through your new album. Can you guys go ahead and tell us when and where someone can find it?
The album drops May 15th everywhere. It will be the best place if you want to buy it from the place that is the best for us, the real place. You can go to benwinnie.com/follow, and the information is there. So that's Winnie is WINNIE. Benwinnie.com/follow.
And Ben's BEN.
Well, again, thank you guys so much for sharing your amazing insight and your process for recording this album. And we look forward to listening to it in the future.
Thank you very much, Chase.
Yeah, thank you.
For our Ben and Winnie Tonda tonight, we will hear the pieces Guapiando, La Próxima Traición, Quejas de Bandoneón, and Negracha. ¶¶
Thank you.